This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher, and joining me again this week is Matthew Peterson. Hello, Matthew.
Joining you again on the show we do together every week, except the weeks we don't. Yes, it's Dueling Reviews.
Yep, and this week we are taking a look at DC Comics' sequel to the 1973 series Prez, with the 2015 series Prez, where Beth Corndog Ross has been elected president of the United States through stupid shenanigans and
chicanery and
laissez-faire of stupid people.
Yeah.
And so now she needs to assemble a cabinet.
Yes.
And she needs to be sworn in, all while not being killed and while taking advice from the former prez from 1973.
Right. And this is, they made a point last issue. Preston Rickard said he was never president.
Oh, it did say that? I thought it said he was in her shoes before.
He said he was almost president, but didn't get elected, which makes me think that this is maybe one of those reimaginings. But either way, yes, Preston Rickard, the one man that nobody wants to have be president, is going to be her vice president.
Yes.
As what we like to call president insurance. My God, this book is cynical.
Well, I mean, have you been reading Bloom County at all?
I haven't, actually.
I mean,
I can't log into Facebook that often because that's where my sisters are.
No.
And there's three of them, and I sometimes get overwhelmed.
I check into Facebook maybe once every other day or so.
Yeah.
Just to see whose birthday I need to send out a message to.
Exactly. Happy birthday.
That's what I basically do, is use Facebook to wish people a happy birthday right now.
Loves.
I don't get involved in political debates. I don't get involved in the current hate speech stuff's going on or any of that stuff. So I'm kind of out of the loop when it comes to Facebook. Although we do have a Facebook page, Major Spoilers, on Facebook. Space. Make sure you like us and do all those cool things. But space. This is a story that's set in 2036, the far future that we will never see.
Ooh, sure we will. 2036.
And we'll blow ourselves up first.
We won't.
And this book really, this
God,
book
I thought
really
the book
pushes
was cynical.
This book really pushes cynicism, and I mean, really, you know, I'm caught up. I've read all three of the issues so far, and this is just borderline Idiocracy, if you've seen that movie.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. There's a lot of stuff in here that, oddly enough, there's a subplot with a gentleman working for Boss Smiley in one of his warehouses.
Right.
That reminds me a lot of my career in the call center industry, where the guy gets docked for being 8.3 seconds late and is told he only has a minute 37 restroom break, and he goes over and he says, but I had to do number two. And they're like, well, we weighed your output and it wasn't a number two. I'm like, really? How did you get my former boss to be in this comic book, DC Comics, Ben Caldwell and Mark Russell? Not the Mark Russell from Real People in 1977, I'm sure, but a different Mark Russell. But yes, this is very dark. This is very, it's not even dystopian, because it's not.
No, it is.
It's
no,
like 15
I mean,
minutes into the
future. I think everybody, I think that's become the new buzzword. Anytime someone says the future, they automatically put dystopia front of it without really understanding what the meaning is. No, this is, I guess you could call it dystopian if you want. I mean, this is the course that we are headed on if we keep up with the BS that we're doing.
This is the ridiculous extreme of any and all current societal trends.
Right, exactly. And so from that perspective, this book is a very nice parody. It is a very nice warning for future if they don't pay attention.
Satire slash critique.
Yeah. But I'm not I'm not invested in this book yet. I've read the three issues and it still hasn't sold me completely. And that's what's troubling. At the end of the third issue, this issue that we're reviewing this week, Beth gets sworn in and she basically tells the crowd, hey, everybody, I don't know what I'm doing, but I think we can all change. And I think this can happen and this can happen and this can happen. And then instead of the crowd going crazy, a couple of hackers via Anonymous have hacked into the security bot that's standing guard and blew away a suspect or a person in the crowd.
Right.
And it craps on her whole speech.
But the person in the crowd that they blew away is actually a guy who brought a gun and tried to assassinate her.
I don't think he tried to assassinate her. They had said that
he had his weapon trained upon her and was ready to fire.
They had said that he was from some military group that because of the stupid laws couldn't deny him admittance or whatever that it was.
Page 22, panel 1, he is raising his gun and aiming it at the president, and the drone bot basically blows them away. So yeah, interesting weird things going on there. The problem that I have with this, I like parts of it. In fact, I think that parts of it are really, really scathing and really, really,
oh, yeah,
fun,
sure,
really funny to read about.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so overwhelmingly depressing.
Right.
When our subplot guy gets fired, and Manuel is his name, he gets fired for spending an extra minute in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see him go and get a job at a restaurant.
No, he doesn't get a job. He's not getting a job. That is his
free benefits.
Food. That's his benefits, his food program.
Okay. I thought he was getting a job. And then he walks past a big payday loan sign, sort of. Just, so depressing.
In issue two, they talked about how they were going to get rid of food stamps by feeding everyone these free taco, whatever it is, Taco Bell. And in exchange for the free food that they get, which is subpar food,
right?
The drones monitor their activities and they have to wear these taco clothings as their identifier.
You have to wear the taco freedom badge.
Yeah.
I do remember that now.
Yeah. Boy. So it's, I don't know. You were three issues in and I feel like this is where we should have been at the end of issue two.
I kind of feel that way too. We don't really have a whole lot on Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Beth kind of feels like the big question mark in the middle of the story.
Right.
And, you know, we have an idea of who the players are with Preston Rickard. We have an idea of who the players are with Boss Smiley. We have, you know, the two senators who wanted to have been president,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, failed because of, you know, political shenanigans and promises and, you know, one-upsmanship. But I feel like Beth's role in this has still been really pretty passive, and I'm waiting for Beth to do something. I do like the fact that it's clearly not Neil deGrasse Tyson.
it clearly is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It's not Neil deGrasse Tyson. His name is clearly Professor Franklin Holyfeld.
Yes.
That's not Neil deGrasse Tyson, legally speaking.
I'm sure he would be flattered. I'm sure he would be flattered to be looking that young in another, 15, 20 years.
20 years from now, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's a part of this, the satire part of it seems, especially the TV stuff, mm-hmm. seems very much reminiscent of what Frank Miller did in Dark Knight Returns kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The story needs to move something. Beth needs to do Corndog Girl. I wonder, have you tweeted at Corndog Girl yet? To see what
I'm
happens.
Not going to tweet at Corndog Girl.
Let me just do this. Corndog Girl
dude,
for Prez.
Ident.
And tweet.
Oh, do do darn it.
Why did it say Corndog? Oh, wait a minute. Why did it add a space in between Corndog and Girl? Stupid autocorrect. Corndog Girl.
Corndog Girl, oh, you look so fine.
Well,
I wish
it looks
fine.
Like there is a Corndog Girl called Kira Thompson.
We'll name her Minnie.
And another one, Kathy Swear.
You and me, Corndog Girl.
So I guess DC didn't check who owned the Corndog Girl tag.
Hashtag corndog girl brings up Prez information.
Yes, but they specifically in one of the previous issues had at corndog girl.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. From a satire perspective, I liked it. I just feel like there's stuff that's moving too slowly, and she unfortunately typifies the what older people look at teenagers today. Uninterested, uninvolved. She's not self-absorbed, fortunately, like everyone around her.
Don't say the
but
M-word.
I don't know what M-word you're talking about.
Millennial.
Oh, I didn't say that. which is also problematic because at some point she's going to have to do something.
Right. Now, is this a limited or is this an ongoing? Because I've seen it listed as both a 12-issue limited and as an ongoing series.
I think it is a 12-issue limited ongoing series.
If it's a 12-issue limited, then next issue is really that big point where Beth has to make her first move. Because you're, you know, basically you're getting to the end of that first act. It's issue number 4. I think that next issue, not just from that structural perspective, has to give us something. And we see a little bit of it when she starts picking her cabin.
Right.
This week.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that if we can get Beth to just kind of step up and make a stand, even if it's a stand that's, you know, something that she gets from Rickard, I think that it will make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, I think really this could have been 2 issues, unfortunately. And this 3rd issue has some interesting stuff. I think of the 3 issues, the first one, I don't think was that great, but issues 2 and 3 were fine. I think the biggest thing in issue 1, if I remember, was her father dying. Or was that in the 2nd issue? I forget, but
It was in the 2nd issue. Probably.
Okay, so yeah. So, you know, 2nd and 3rd issues have been really good. I don't know. I'm having trouble putting this on a pull list, or I'm having trouble deciding if this is something that I want to read past issue 3.
Yeah, it's...
I love the satire part of it.
Right.
But I also need something to move along because I can only go, and really I'm at the point right now where I'm looking at this and going, okay, I get it. We're stupid. We're idiots. People need, this is where we're headed. I get that. So I don't need 9 more issues of this.
Maybe you do.
No, I most certainly don't.
Maybe you know that we're stupid. You just don't know how stupid we really are yet.
Believe me, I know how stupid we really are. All I have to do is go up to, turn on a television news station or look up on the internet and I can really truly find out how stupid we all are.
I think that right now I am still in a willing to work with it spot. But I think part of that is because of the original Prez series being what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The original Prez series was weird and it attempted to be timely and it attempted to be ripped from the headlines and it pretty much failed, but for what it was, it made an interesting statement. And I think that it allowed, especially Neil Gaiman, but other authors to make interesting statements based on the concept. I think that right now, if we can get Beth to do something, you know, if we look at it from that modern storytelling thing of a 6-issue arc in a 12-issue story, then those first 6 issues are basically the 1st issue of Prez from 1973 in the story perspective, which means it gets everything up on its feet and gets the story rolling. If we can get her to do something, if we can get her proactive doing something meaningful next issue, I'm willing to go a full 12 on this because I am enjoying the art.
Yeah, the art is really good. The writing is really good. I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that it's really sharp. It's biting. It's really, really good from the writing perspective. And from what I could find, I think this is the writer's 1st bit.
Mark Russell?
Yeah. At least
it's
that's
not a name that I'm familiar with.
At least whenever I click on his name in Comixology, nothing else shows up except for Prez. So it's from that perspective, it's really, really good from the writing perspective. I just think it's a little slow in getting out of the gates. Like you
Maybe
said,
it is the Mark Russell who used to be on Real People.
Oh, really?
No.
The art, like you said, I think is great. he's the artist, Ben Caldwell has worked on Harley Quinn and Justice League Beyond and Legends of Mouseguard and Superboy and a bunch of other stuff. So this is good. I like his stuff.
Yeah. Very off the beaten track kind of stuff, but really strong art, really great with the weird, you know, future displays and glowing 3D elements.
Yeah.
Everything being an ad or a click or a, you know, hey, like send the president a gift.
Yeah.
Sexy for more frog. Information, click over here. Sexy frog. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know, if this were 1973, it would be Pet Rock. So
that's true.
Or I don't know when Pet Rock was at its height, but I bet we could find out.
Pet Rock was around 74, 75, I want to say.
Pet Rock in the Wikipedia. 1975 by Gary Dahl.
Ha! Told you. 74, so, yeah. 75. Yeah, during the Carter administration, or actually before the Carter administration.
Yep.
Because that started in 1976. Yeah. Here's my deal. As a jaded, hateful 40-ish comic book reader, like and would recommend this book to people who are like-minded, you know, people who aren't afraid to have a story that is kind of dark and weird. And I hesitate to use the word off-putting, but I think it's there. There's going to be an aspect of this that, like Idiocracy, that like things that extrapolate from the worst of human nature is going to be off-putting if you're just wandering around through your day. I mean, the first few pages of this are full of jabs and stabs at everybody. Last issue, issue two, was basically the 2016 presidential race. Bad, Matthew, bad. But yes, it was very ridiculous and very over the top. And I think that as long as you can stomach that, as long as your tolerance for irony, as long as your tolerance for pitch black humor is there, this is definitely a book that I would recommend. Now, come back to me in a month or two if we're still at the same point story-wise in terms of our protagonist's placement in the story, if she's entirely passive, if she's entirely being manipulated by external forces. That may change. And in fact, I would say that would change 2 months down the line if we're still having these same issues. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I for me, I'm really on the fence with this. I mean, if you liked Idiocracy, you would probably get a kick out of this.
I've never sat down and watched all of Idiocracy. I've seen chunks of it and I sit and I'm like, man, there's got to be something less cynical I can do with my afternoon.
You could read Prez.
I love but I'm Mike
not sure
Judge.
It's less,
but man.
I'm not sure it's less cynical. I don't know if I can wholeheartedly recommend it like you are. I think there's parts of this that are really brilliant, but I need the story to move a little bit more. And maybe it's the slow burn. Maybe I'm just impatient and need to be a little bit, take a couple more issues under my purview and read them. But right now, it's really hard for me to. So. I'm on the fence with it. I think the art is great. I think the writing is great. I just don't know if this is for me just because of the slower pace. So there you go.
There you go.
We got an email last week. Ooh, actually, we got it, I think, on Saturday, Sunday.
Was it a good email or was it an email?
Oh, no, this is a good email. This is from Nancy A. Collins. And you may know Nancy A. Collins as the writer for Vampirilla.
Yes.
And she says, thanks for the great in-depth review of Vampirilla number 13. I should point out, though, that the series is canceled as of number 13. There is one more issue that ties into this continuity that I've written, the 2015 annual due out in September. And if you like the classic monster mash in Vampirilla number 13, you're going to have a geek stroke, geek stroke with the 2015 annual. Vampirilla is scheduled to be rebooted next year, I believe, with a whole new creative team. As for me, I'm taking on Dynamite's Army of Darkness comic. And you're right, the art for the series looked amazing in black and white. And she sent me some proof pages in the black and white pencils, and they looked fan-frickin-tastic.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really looks really good. And I was kind of tempted to take those, and I've got a Wacom tablet. And I was thinking of inking all of that stuff just to see how it would come out. So
I say
thank you
because Wacom sounds like
yeah. So thank you, Nancy, for writing in on that. And I think there was one other creative who contacted us. I don't see his email here, but I'm pretty sure someone sent us something else recently. So thank you, Nancy, for that. And thank you, everyone, for paying attention to this. And sometimes we like stuff and sometimes we don't. I'm glad when people aren't super angry at us when we find something maybe not to our particular taste.
Even if we don't like it, we try to respect it as best we can.
Unless it really makes me mad.
Well, and if, you know, things do make people mad. You have those visceral responses. Even I have those visceral responses. And I think of the two of us, when you get madder, it's funnier.
I think it's funny when you get mad at just little stupid things.
You think it's funny when I get mad because you've been making me mad for 25 years, Mr. Hip Dysplasia.
No, well, hey, man, I sent you the link on the symptoms, so hopefully you
read
that. You
did send me the link, and I sent you a picture in return.
No. I sent you the link after the picture in return, and I said, here are all the symptoms. Please read them and consult your doctor.
By the way, did you see that the subject of the picture retweeted it to her followers?
No, I didn't.
She did today. She popped up in my timeline talking, and she saw that picture and my caption and retweeted it to her own followers. So that's kind of cool.
Well, I guess that's okay.
Yes, it is. It was quite entertaining. I may have squeed a little bit.
Oh, is that what that noise?
Yeah,
was?
That's what that terrible noise was. That was me having, you know, a little bit of fan moment with an actress I adore. So
cool. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Adam Point 3, number 2. Or maybe it's Adam Period 3, number 2. I don't know.
Adam 3. One Adam 3. One Adam 3. Beep, boop, beep.
Age of Reptiles, Ancient Egyptians, number 4 is out next week. Rodrigo reviewed it this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. Barbed Wire, number 3, comes out. Gru, Friends and Foes trade paperback, volume 1. Lady Killer trade paperback. A LARP trade paperback. Legends of Korra art animated series hardcover, book 4. Balance is a $34.99 book. And This Bellsers. Damn Band, number 2, comes out next week from Dark Horse Comics.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that do call in, and you can see that there is the, if you're on a iPod, I think it's on Androids, too. Right. But if you look in the show notes for this episode, you should see the phone number, and it's hyperlinked automatically. So if you just click on that, it'll call the Major Spoilers hotline. You can leave a message. And I do listen to all of those. We don't play them all on the air. Or we don't often get them on the air, but we do listen.
Especially
to them.
The ones where you're shouting and calling us a pox on humanity.
Yes. But I do appreciate the ones where a charming young lady called in to talk about how we got her into Bizarro and how she's loving that and so many other things.
Nice. Nice.
But next week from DC Comics comes Batmite number 4. Batman Beyond number 4, which I think they're getting I think that's only 6 issues, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Batman Beyond, Batmite, and Bizarro were all 6 issue minis.
Yeah, and the problem that both Ashley and I have with this is that's how they write Tim Drake out of continuity.
Well, that's, I mean,
because they sent him to the future and then canceled his book.
Here's the problem. We ran into this problem as early as Infinite Crisis. When you have legacy characters, they don't know what to do with them. They were going to kill Dick Grayson in Infinite Crisis because
multiple
the
times.
Editorial team said, well, he can't ever become Batman and he can't ever be Robin again, so we might as well kill him. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do with these characters. And I think that Tim Drake.
How about put him in good stories and tell good stories with these characters?
Tim Drake is the third of 5 Robins.
I'm okay with that.
He's not the bad boy. He's not the golden boy.
He's smart
not
one,
the
though.
Girl, exactly. And the smart one in your 5-man band usually bites it.
Yeah,
either the smart one or the funny one. You know what? You know how Reavers clean their spears?
I don't know.
They run them through the wash. Anyway, I'm complaining.
Want sad trombone. Well, you know, you say that
trombone every joke.
I can.
No.
Except for Rodrigo's and sometimes Zach's. Here's the thing. Did you hear this thing this week? I don't know. A lot of sites have picked up on it about this editorial mandate that stop trying to do new things. Did you read
stop
that?
Stop Batgirling. I have seen that.
What are your thoughts on this?
If it's true, I think
summarize it for us real quick for people that haven't been following the rumors, and I don't like posting rumors on the site. If it's true, then yes, I will post it. But
there is no, there's no documented support of this.
Right.
People are reporting that the last wave, the DCU titles that got away from a central continuity and a spine and the house style that they've had recently, which is basically Jim Lee. All of these titles like Bizarro and Batgirl and Black Canary and these books that are kind of blazing new territory are not supposedly being the sales leaders that they'd hoped for. And supposedly someone in editorial has said, stop Batgirling as a verb for doing these weird off-brand things or doing things that are away from a house style. And I think that it, given the lessons that they claimed to be embracing coming out of Convergence, not even 7 months ago. I think that it's, if this is true, and we can't confirm that it is, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they know that's kind of bad. It's dumb. It's questionable because the books that they're putting out now, whether they are selling or not, is a question separate of the fact that they're more versatile. They are more diverse in various
We ran into this, you know, we've ran into this issue before at DC Comics, where suddenly it's like anyone who is a person of color or a strong female lead was suddenly erased. We saw that with Cho. We saw that with the Blue Beetle. We saw it with a number of characters where it's just like, OK, let's get back to some old people. And when when someone at DC editorial is saying, stop Batgirling and go back to meat and potatoes.
Right.
That has backfired and hurt them before. So I don't know why they don't want to embrace. And this is what the article says. Batgirling is an internal phrase inspired by the success of the revived Batgirl comic and Harley Quinn to try more quirky, experimental, off the wall and less continuity laden comic books across the line.
Right. When you look at the original launch in 2011 of the New 52, they had a romance book. They had a couple of war titles. They had Swords and Sorcery. They had Amethyst in there. They had weird stuff. And as the weird stuff didn't sell up to their expectations, they canceled it and they replaced it with Superman and Batman and Justice League.
Well, and some of those books in the initial New 52 launch were scheduled just like Batmite, which got us started on this conversation. Batmite, Batman Beyond, Bizarro, those were all meant to be limited run series out of the gate. But then you had something like Clarion, the Witch Boy, which I thought was awful from the beginning. And it was supposed to be a 12 issue or an ongoing, and it got canceled like six issues in. So,
But if you look at the Hawk and Dove, you look at the launches coming out of the New 52, where we had a new Hawkman series. We had a series for Deathstroke. We had series for characters who weren't normally, you know, those tentpole characters holding up solos. And those books went away. And I think there's kind of a dichotomy there of, yes, we want to have a book for Hawk and Dove and a book for Static and a book for Blue Beetle, but then we're not willing to build those audiences to the point where you can get the equivalent of an audience for a Batman or a Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Batman has an audience because Batman has had a title or multiple titles per month for the last 75 years. You build that kind of thing. You have to build it, and you have
I mean, you have to remember, it took DC Comics 27 issues before they finally introduced the world of Batman. It takes time. It takes time and patience.
You realize that Batman came a full 6 years into the all-American DC Comics editorial kind of
thing. It took them 6 years, huh? Wow.
Yeah. You know why?
Yeah, never. Well, no, I think, and I don't remember, I was listening to a creator. No, maybe it was Jim Zub. Yeah, he's a creator. But I was listening to Jim Zub, and he's like, oh, and I've been saying for years about anthology books. And he's like, oh, no, anthology books don't work. This is an interview. And if it wasn't Jim Zub, then I apologize. And then he was also talking about how big phone book year, you know, yearly giant trades that come out don't work either. Yet, I'm not sure I agree with that, because the Earth One series from DC has been doing incredibly well, and those come out like maybe once a year, maybe every other year. And then you also have, I know that there are anthology books out there that do very well too. I'm just wondering why we can't have, you know, Batmite, Bizarro, Harley Quinn all wrapped up in an anthology book. May cost you $5, comes out every month, but at least you're getting your Batmite, your Bizarro, or your Harley Quinn, which people probably really want, but they're also finding out, hey, here's a Batman, or here's a Batmite. Now, DC did do that 8-page backup for a while, which cranked up the cost to $4.99 or yep. $3.99 for many of their books.
$3.99 for, the $2.99 books.
But most of those 8-page backups were tied back into the main story without really introducing new characters or new stories. So you can't really say that, you know, putting a Batmite story at the back page of Harley Quinn won't work because they haven't tried it.
I think that the problem is that anthologies historically don't sell as well or as regularly because of the nature of the anthology.
Right.
If you go back, I mean, when we were kids, Comics Weekly.
Dark Horse Presents has been going on for how many years now? And that's an anthology book.
But it's Dark Horse. What is Dark Horse's expectation of a successful level of sales as compared to DC or Marvel?
Considering the other rumor report that we heard this week that DC is down $2 million over expected expenditures, or they've increased expenses over the $2 million over what they thought they were budgeted for, maybe examining what makes a successful comic needs to be front and center as opposed to let's kill Nightwing.
No, what they're going to do is they're going to fall back on what they know always works.
The meat and potatoes.
It's going to be event books. It's going to be the big three. It's going to be giant flaming things falling from the sky and killing people.
But even those don't work. They know that those don't work. Convergence didn't work.
Those work monetarily.
But they don't have long term. It's a small bump in the road is what they see. And then they're like, well, this must work because we saw a bump there. And they don't notice that it falls off very soon after. They won't be able to follow the Marvel model forever of event after event after event. It just won't work for
25 years. Event after event after event. And I think that modern publishing is kind of predicated on at least one yearly event. They have one every summer, whatever it may be.
Well, yeah, a summer event is fine. But when you have the summer event falls into the fall event, which falls into the winter event, which because of delays becomes the spring event, which also overlaps the spring event, which then overlaps the next summer event, then that's that you don't have time for people to get to know who these characters are because you're not allowing them to have those quiet moments where they can have the quiet, Superman saves Christmas issue where everyone's like, oh, Superman's a really cool guy. Oh, this is special. This is neat.
They don't do those anymore.
I know. Well, because they've all wrapped up in these event comics.
And the event comics are selling them comics. Blackest Night was a huge thing. Brightest Day was
like
a terrible
3 years
book
ago.
With nothing.
Like three
and
or four
Brightest
years
Day
ago.
Sold and sold and sold. Convergence was two issues of basically kind of nothing. And Convergence sold.
No, it didn't. Actually, Convergence didn't sell. It did not sell what they thought it was going to sell. And that's
it
where
it didn't sell what they thought it was going to sell.
And that's
but it
where
sold more than their regular stuff.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I'll go back and look, but I don't think it sold nearly as good as well as. And here's the problem: the numbers that we see, the numbers that we have access to, that's what the comic store bought, right?
Right.
The monthly numbers that we see don't count for how many books were returned back from the store. And all, I think, but maybe the last two issues of Convergence were returnable.
Right, because you had to order like 6 weeks worth of
Right, so we don't know what the actual sales were when we count in returns. But anyway, I don't think going back to just the meat and potatoes is the answer. No. I think that if we're talking historically meat and potatoes as white guys in spandex, they need to move beyond that.
The DC universe and the Marvel universe are never going to move beyond the spandex. You can continuously
How about move beyond white guys in spandex and let's diversify it up a little bit.
Well, which is it? Because we've had these discussions about how, we need to have this and then also Batman is awesome.
Well, Batman can be awesome, but you know what? Why did you have to get rid of Blue Beetle? Why did you have to get rid of Ryan Choi Adam? They were both doing fine and they were very popular.
Because they needed to bring back Barry Allen.
No, they didn't.
And they needed to bring back Brian, what's his name?
No, they didn't.
Palmer.
They
Ray
didn't.
Palmer.
Somebody said, hey, I got a boner for Barry Allen. Let's bring him back.
They had to bring back Hal Jordan.
Hey, let's bring back Hal Jordan. I remember when comics were great, they all featured Hal Jordan comics. Hal Screw Jordan those comics. People that like minorities. Yeah. We want white guys. That's not the attitude to take.
I don't think that's the attitude they're taking. I think it's a side effect of a myopic attitude, which says that comics were better at X point in time. X point in time being a kind of a changing era, depending on what comics you love. Bob Kirkman says that the best comics came out in the 1990s. Jeff Johns says the 1960s. I say 1984 to 1989. We all have that built into our comic book
DNA. And we've talked about that reason too, because those are your formative years and those are the things that had the biggest impact and impression on you.
Yep.
That just because it had a big impact and impression on you doesn't mean that is what is most popular. What you think is most popular, Matthew, what you think is awesome and cool, does not necessarily reflect what everyone else thinks is awesome and cool. But well, if you were put in charge, no, but you, yeah, that's right. You don't care what's most popular. You are interested in what you are interested in. And if that means that I have to get rid of these other characters over here, if we have to get rid of Wally West so I can bring back what I think is cool, that may be hurting a company. Like you said, it's a myopic view of what they need to do. They need to listen. They need to embrace change. They need to go out there on the limb. Now, I'm not saying that and I think that the problem is when they said they want to introduce change, let's introduce change across all of our titles. No, you don't need to do that. Find out what titles are the ones that are most open to change and change that. Little steps, not massive whacks with a sledgehammer that are going to have negative repercussions.
Yeah, I still maintain that they don't know how to do that. And, you know, I would also maintain that they never did.
There was probably a time where they kind of knew what was going on.
I don't
when
think
did, when did they when did they when did they get rid of Levitz?
Levitz left just a few years ago. But Levitz was Levitz from like 1985 to 2009, 2008, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But this isn't, you know, this is an overarching thing. If you go back in comics decades, I don't think they know. You know, they had an editor at DC who claimed that comics sell better because they have a green cover. There are a lot of ideas about what is successful in comics. And even we can say they should make better stories. But that's really what they think they're doing. When you have an issue like Prez, they are giving us something that they think is new and different. But if we go and, say, read Superman Batman, which is now all about a powerless Superman and Commissioner Gordon in a Batman suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's familiar, but it's also new.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change, and it's something that they think should be getting people excited for whatever reason. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. This is the thing that you look at, and the more we see from DC, the more I think that the people in control think they're doing things right and that something is wrong with their audience. That the audience is not responding correctly to what they're putting out. And so they're now trying to correct the audience again by bringing things back to the books that they know how to sell because they think that those are the books that are correct.
Right. And but again, if the audience is saying, hey, we want more minorities, or we want more representation of this group, or we want to see this. And if that's what the majority are saying, and you're like, no, people don't want Wally West as the Flash. And the people are screaming, we want Wally West as the Flash. Then there's something wrong there. There's a disconnect.
Isn't returning to Wally West after having already returned to Barry Allen an example?
I'm just using that as an example. I could be doing the same thing as bring Jaime Reyes back as Blue Beetle. You should have never gotten rid of that. You should have never gotten rid of Ryan Choi in favor of returning Ray Palmer. You shouldn't have brought back Silver Age in hopes that that would have brought back the Silver Age, the success that you had in the 1960s when they introduced, all these characters. Whatever the thinking was of, and you and I both know that it's documented, let's get rid of all of these characters that are doing quite well in favor of bringing back these old characters that old people seem to like, and forget these young kids because young kids only will like what we tell them to like. That's a very wrong way of thinking.
Yeah. I think it goes back to this, if it were true, if we mm-hmm. presume that someone is saying that batgirling is the problem, then they're looking at batgirling as, again, the audience being wrong, the audience responding to something
exactly.
that is not correct, and they're going to try and correct their audience. And I think that's the lesson that they learned from the New 52. And I'm afraid that it's a lesson that they're going to keep learning, and it's a lesson that's going to eventually probably mess up not just DC, but a lot of people in the comic book industry.
I just don't think that they're learning it. If your dictate is, forget all this batgirling, then I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lobo number 10 comes out. Well, I'm glad that series has made it all the way to 10 issues.
Actually, Lobo number 9 wasn't terrible. Apparently, he's fighting Sinestro this month.
Okay. Omega Sinestro. Man number 4.
He's a guy.
When are we going to bring back Doom Patrol or Challengers of the Unknown? Let's bring back those classics.
The Doom Patrol 6 times in the last 5 years. Let's let the Doom Patrol rest.
Yeah, let's bring back Lobo and give him 10 more issues. IDW Publishing has Danger Girl Renegade number 1. Gem in the so if people are wondering, I probably should kind of give this as a teaser. On Friday, make sure you tune in to listen to our discussion on Zach on Film when we talk about original ideas and whether they work or whether they don't work. And as we go through here and we're talking about reboots and relaunching and bringing back things, as I'm looking here at Danger Girl Renegade number 1, Gem in the Holograms.
Gem in the Holograms is a solid book.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not a solid book. What I'm saying is that we tend to fall back on what we perceive as things that worked before.
Well, comics has been doing that since long before it was cool.
Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, number 44. Walt Disney's Donald Duck Daily Newspaper Comics hardcover. That's only a $39.99 book, so nice. It might be worth checking out. Image Comics has, what is that called? Eight House, number 3. Beyond Belief, number 2. Dark Corridor, number 2, Dying in the Dead, number 3, Jupiter's Circle, number 6, that Zach quite liked.
Yeah.
Plutonian, number 1. I think I actually read one or two of those issues and thought it was okay, too. Let's see. Poseidon IX, one shot.
X.
And Tales of Honor. What does this say? Tales of Honor, Bred to Kill. They forgot to put a colon or something in there.
There's probably a comma.
Maybe. Marvel Comics has Age of Apocalypse number 3, Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number 4, Daredevil number 18, Deadpool versus Thanos number 1, Figment 2 number 1, Groot number 4, Hail Hydra number 2. Oh, there was a book that came out this week that I was very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
It is the, what is it called? Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. That is part of this Secret Wars thing. It's probably
Hank
one
Johnson.
of all of the things that have come out of this Secret Wars thing. That's the one I think is going to be most fun. Just because it's this
that's
random
that's the star you're going to hit your wagon.
Just with. This random crazy schmuck guy working for Hydra and his
Fred Garvin.
There's actually another. There was a Kickstarter comic. I think I just got it in the other day. I backed it. Is it called Punch Card? I think is what it's called. Let me double check. Punch Card comic. No, Clock Punchers. Is that what it's called? God dang it.
Yeah,
I forgot
that
what
sounds right.
I forget what it is. Clock Punchers.
Clock Punchers sounds familiar.
And it's all about these mooks, how they get hired out by the hour. And somebody's going to correct me. It's not showing up in any of those. But it was very funny in the first issue that I'd read from the Kickstarter campaign. And if this one is like that with the Hydra book, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Silk number 7 comes out this week. All of these are SWA books. Did you hear that there's going to be a 9th issue to Secret Wars?
Issue 9 of 8. Yeah,
yes. And they promised that it's going to come out in December, even though the all new, all different comics will already be out.
It's Marvel.
Yes. What was the
Forget
last
about
one
it,
that they?
Jake.
What's the last one that they did? It was an AVX was still going on well after they started their next event.
AVX hadn't even ended when they started.
Yeah, we're being bitter. That's what happens. That's what happens when you read Prez. You become cynical and bitter. Adventures of Arrow Girl number 4.
Major spoilers was Ultimates number 13 of 12.
Was
so.
It?
It's bringing us back around full circle.
Adventures of Arrow Girl number 4 is lots of fun. Aliens Vampirilla number 1 should be interesting. Betty and Veronica Comics Annual Digest number 236.
Wait, Veronica.
How could there be 236? Oh, maybe it's the Betty and Veronica Comic Digest 236 Annual.
Right.
Because you couldn't have an annual digest and still have 236 of them.
No, it's an annual, which means it's a double-sized digest, but it's number 236 in the Betty and Veronica.
Yes, that's what...
They have a weird, because of the fact that they sell those, you know, at Safeway.
Yes, but I'm just saying if it was an annual and it was issue 236, that would be almost impossible. Well, 236 years of Betty
and Veronica. You could do your annual at more than annual frequency, because this is comics.
I suppose.
This is comics, where bi-monthly actually means two different things. My comic is bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly actually does.
Other month.
Bi-monthly actually does mean two different things.
I know, but in the comics industry, you can't tell which it is until you actually go back and look at the frequency.
Let's see.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Doctor Who 10th Doctor number 15, Doctor Who 2015 Four Doctors number 4. Ooh, my understanding, Paul Cornell tweeted out something the other day that was basically like, you've seen all the War Doctor you're going to see in this series. Which I was like, he was in like the first three pages of issue 1 and that was it.
Well, maybe he's not the fourth Doctor.
Maybe, I don't know. I've already read the new issue that came out this week.
Let's do Four Doctors number 4 next week.
That's fine by me.
All right.
The way that the third issue ended is a pretty heavy cliffhanger.
Do they murder somebody?
Not really. Although
you know what
it's
I liked
all,
about
what
the
weird
issue?
The weird thing about it is, and I'll kind of give a little spoiler. Mm-hmm. One of the doctors meets another incarnation of himself.
A fourth doctor?
Well, it's not like, you know, you could say, well, every incarnation of the doctor is a different doctor. No, I'm talking about what if like young Eccleston met an older version of Eccleston?
Oh, it's Eccleston's not.
No, he's definitely not in this series. I'm just using that as an example.
You ever wonder if Christopher Eccleston has like weird likeness rights, which is why they don't use his doctor?
He did have a series not too long ago.
Yeah, 5-issue limited.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing.
And come on, you could draw the doctor any way you like and call it the doctor and call him the ninth doctor.
Draw the doctor any way. But
Evil Dead 2, number 2, Beyond Dead by Dawn.
Well, that makes it Evil Dead 4.
Evil Dead 2, Tales of the Ex Mortis, number 1. Futurama Comics, number 76. let's see. Grant Morrison, 18 Days, number 3. Harold Lovecraft and Tesla, number 6. And it's not Harold, like, hey, that's my friend Harold. It's like Harold, hey. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Lovecraft Sings.
Let's see. Human Trade Paperback, Imperium number 8, Jimbo Jones. Man, we went really long on this episode.
We did. Let's
March
wrap it up.
Grand Prix, Mass 2 number 6. Neil Gaiman's Technophage hardcover.
Wow.
Prison Island Graphic Memoir, Providence number 4, Rocket Queen and the Wrench number 1. Coming this Saturday. It's Rocket Queen and the Wrench on ABC's.
Rocket Queen and the Wrench
movie.
In the mornings on KBSA.
let's see. Shadow Volume 2, Skip Beat Graphic Novel 35, Sleepless Night Picture Book. And it's Knigget Picture Book. Swords of Sorrow, Miss Fury, Lady Rawhide Special. Swords of Sorrow, Sonya, Jungle 2. That's one of those special prints that cost $50.
Wow.
War Stories number 12, Woods number 16, Exo Man of War number 40.
It's the morning show with Chuck Steak and the Patriarchy.
Zeta the Space Girl, graphic novel, new printing. That's a $12.99 book. Now, I should say, all this talk about some editorial dictate, that was all a rumor, right? So we should probably, before people get up in arms on that, we were just going off on this idea that if that is true,
correct,
then
there are these
problems with that.
Our expectations of a rumor, which may or may not have any basis in fact.
Right. And so that's why I thought we'd talk about it, because because it does bring up this question of, well, when at what point do you listen to your audience, and at what point does, trying to turn back the clock just simply not work anymore. So,
well, what if the audience tells you to turn back the clock? Ooh, what now, donut lady?
Well, they're wrong. We must turn the clock forward, and we're going to jump forward 5 years and tell a story 5 years in the future.
I'm going to turn the clock forward, and I'm going to go to bed.
And then we will kill, what's his name? And put Tim Drake in that place, and then we'll cancel his book. Boom. Now there's only one Robin, and there's only been one Robin, and that's Batman's son, the horrible Damian Wayne.
You're listening to Dingo and the Baby on Mix 103 FM.
All right, everybody. That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Next week, we'll be taking
the name of the show, didn't we?
No, I knew what it was. Next week, we're going to be looking at The Four Doctors, number 4.
Yes.
That's a 5-issue limited, so this will be the penultimate issue. And we'll see if the bad guys win or not.
I think they will.
No, I don't think so.
Come and see the bad guys win.
Okay, that wraps it up. Thank you so much. Podcast at majorspoilers.com. If you have any questions, there is the phone there and phone number there in the show notes. Just tap on it. It'll dial our Skype number for you for free. If you would like to support our cause, become a VIP at members.majorspoilers.com. And be sure to check the website out, majorspoilers.com. Use the podcast posting page to share your thoughts about this episode or anything that's on your mind. And until next time, keep reading comics because that's what we're going to be doing. Talk to you soon.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.